uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we're live here with you for this Thursday night Moonbat edition of the broadcast, and we were live last night, and it's probably going to continue to be sporadic shows here for the foreseeable future. I got awakened today with just some terrible news. It wasn't about my dad either, what you'd expect, because of course you hadn't heard me talk about it. My dad is in the hospital. He has been for the past week and a half, 2 weeks. He's overdosed on his pain pills, didn't know how much he was taking, and then I think subsequently we found out that I think his cancer's progressing up from his spinal cord into his brain. And but today he was talking, and he's been kind of, you know, out of it on drugs for the past week or so. So we haven't been able to talk to him, you know. It kind of felt like we were losing him because he wasn't in a coma. He's just not there. You know, he's just completely out of it and has never woken up and stuff. And, but today he was waking up and talking, and, you know, so that's better. But we're just hoping we can at least get him stabilized and try to prolong his, you know, prolong his life in as much comfort as we can for as long as we possibly can. But a lot of my family and family friends and stuff have been coming for the past week, and everybody's kind of writing him off, and except us, you know. Everybody's already saying, you know, it's been my family already saying that he was going to be, you know, dead in 24 hours, and that was a week ago. But my dad wouldn't give up on any of us if we were laying there in that bed in this other situation, so we're not going to give up on him yet either. And so me and my brother, my sister, and my stepmom are going to do the best we can to, you know, not give up and give up the fight. But sometimes people do give up the fight, and when they feel that there's nothing left, and I don't understand it, and I would never do it. But I got woken up today with the news that my uncle, my dad's father, committed suicide this morning. Apparently the chimney at my grandparents' old house, kind of, they live out, you know, way out in the sticks in East Texas, and very poor people out there, very, you know, their house was sort of, I guess, in sort of dilapidated, and their chimney fell in or something, and there was an argument between my uncle and his girlfriend and my grandmother, and I guess in the middle of the argument, he went in the house and got a shotgun and went up into one of the bedrooms and shot himself in the heart. So, you know, that's why there hasn't been shows, and you know, everybody out there, you understand right now, my work's on complete stoppage right now, pretty much because of all this stuff. Cause I can't focus on this stuff right now, man. Honestly, I can't. I try to get in here and do some stuff working on the film. I can't do it. But this, like all things, will pass, and we'll get past it and move on, and we'll continue on with our work and our task at hand here that we have to do. But, you know, tonight I just had to get up here. We were playing Megadeth before the show tonight. Yeah, thanks to everybody who was hanging out listening to Megadeth tonight. It was, for some reason, it was the only thing that's been making me feel good was listening to Megadeth. Isn't that weird? I know most people would think that's weird. Well, but at least their music's not, you know, there's nothing negative in there. I mean, you know, it's just very positive. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it was already a bad situation. It's been bad over the past couple of weeks because a lot of people already writing my dad off, and a lot of people already, you know, saying he's dead. And, you know, I mean, my God, you know, we're going to do our best to, I don't know, we're going to do our best not to tell my dad, hopefully, you know. Depends on what his state progresses to. He just doesn't need this on top of everything else. I think it would destroy what is probably left of my dad's hope if he knew. So yeah, on top of, you know, everybody, all our family, everything already, you know, upset and crying, and because of my dad. Here, then, and then we get this thrown on us today. And you know, we're not a family who's ever, we've never had experience with this in our family. None of us have. Never been a suicide in our family. That's not, you know, that's not the way any of us were raised. My uncle was, you know, he was kind of, I think with my dad and impending death of my dad, you know, at some point, hopefully later than sooner, combined with, you know, my grandmother probably, you know, not too far behind him. I think probably was, you know, probably the cause of this. I was pretty down about it earlier. Not really down about the situation with my uncle, but dad, it was just everything, you know, when stuff kind of piles on you eventually, no matter how strong you are, you know, you can get down about it. And I was feeling down about, you know, everything. You know, I was wondering if I was even going to do a show ever again, to be honest with you, because, I don't know. We hadn't got a lot of support in over the past couple of weeks. And I'm sitting here today, you know, with two cigarettes, no food, and $2 in the bank account going, you know, you're trying to even get my mind to even focus on this stuff and on this bullshit. Cause, you know, I'm just sitting here and I go through and I start looking at all this news, start looking at all this crap, and it just pisses me off. I just get mad, you know. And believe me, it's all well channeled. You know, I don't have any problems, emotional problems dealing with this. I'm not one of those type of people. I've got this. I'm very emotionally together when it comes to this stuff. But other people aren't, and the other people when they're not emotionally together enough to handle this kind of stuff, they tend to look at you weird as if you're some sort of emotionless, you know, sack of crap because you're not, you know, bawling and crying all over the place. And just because I'm not bawling and crying all over the place does not mean that I do not have deep emotions and deep emotional feelings about this that are affecting me on a lot of levels. Nonetheless, we're gonna have ourselves a show here tonight, And I'll do my best, you know, to be here and do shows as many days as I possibly can. But you guys are going to have to understand out there, and most of you are cool with it, but there are still people, there are some insensitive motherfuckers out there that could give a fuck what I got going on. They give a fuck about what's happening with my family. They want fucking live shows every day, and they will fucking send you emails about it, too. They don't give a rat's ass. I mean, I thought I'd been pretty explanatory over the past few shows about what was happening with my dad and the situation, and the urgency of it. You know, my dad was 70 or 80 years old. This wouldn't be a big deal. He's 55 years old, folks. Come on. I'm 30. I'm about to be 35. My dad got my mom pregnant when I was 20, when he was 20, you know? He was a kid when I was born. So, you know, again, for the people out there, insensitive pricks who don't give a fuck what's going on with me, just to let you know, you know, I'm going to do shows when I can. And my film will come out when I can get it out. I'm still planning on getting it out by 7/1. That was a goal that was set for me by a friend who donated and helped out. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it at that. And I will make it at that. That's there's not everything I can. I will make it at that. But that's a different situation than doing getting up here and doing live shows. You know what I mean? I can work on the film. I can do what I need to do on that. But sometimes it's very, you know, sometimes it, really today, I mean, right now I've got a fucking screaming headache. I need some fucking booze or something. I don't know. Something. I just got one of those fucking stress headaches. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it sucks. Anyway, enough about me. Please support us if you can. It's whatever. I need help right now, and I'm asking for it. So if I got friends out there that enjoy what I do and want to see it continue and want to see me make it through all this horror shit, just help out if you can. You can use the donate button there if you want. Use the Jim banner. It doesn't matter. Just use whatever. But, we'll make it through this. I promise you. And our work will continue on. It's just not the easiest thing in the world to be dealing with. And like I said, I start looking at all this horse shit, and we're going to talk about some horse shit here tonight. I just started looking at this stuff, and it's just like, oh, God damn. You know, it's just everything that causes misery in our world is a result of what these fucking sick bastards are doing. So that alone right there is enough for me to never stop. Because the truth of the matter is, regardless of what you believe, don't believe, what your, you know, pet conspiracies are, whatever have you, regardless of all that, there's not a damn one of you out there that listens to this show or is listening to this show that likes me or doesn't like me or anything else. There's not a goddamn one of you out there that can deny that statement that everything in our material reality that causes us misery comes from them. They are the problem, not us. Not the people who constantly allow ourselves to be programmed and divided and conquered and easily led. It wouldn't happen if there wasn't the antagonist there to cause it. So where would you say our problems lie? Pretty easy to really sum up, isn't it? So all this other horse shit of truth movement and patriot movement and cocksucker movement, you know, infiltrator movement and all, what, you know, whatever else, I don't know. I think we can all agree that anything that may cause humankind misery on this planet is coming as a result of the cocksuckers in charge. So we should be doing everything in our power to, number one, alert people to these to their presence, because most people don't even know. Even people that understand the surface level of this stuff don't understand really how deep it goes. We have a lot of education to be done here. But I tell you what, you know, if you can find a way to take all the information, I plan on doing this, not trying to do it is the big key word. I'll take a stab at it and see what happens. But one of my goals is to do exactly that, is to make a collection of discs of movies of what, you know, or whatever, movies and PDFs and audio clips, and make like a fucking box set and you know, it'd be 20 discs or whatever, and just make something that encompasses all the best evidence concerning every topic you can imagine that it shows and exposes what the people and who the people in charge are doing and really gets that idea across to people who the source of all misery in this material realm here on Earth, who that is and where it's coming from. Because, you know, if people were so easily programmed to be this way, they can be just as easily reprogrammed to not be this way. It's just comes down to access. Eventually, the people who run the machinery are going to turn. Eventually, these people are going to, you know, want to start getting some truth out there. The tide will turn eventually, my friends. We just have to stay the course. Let's get into some news for you here tonight. This is the Thursday, the May 12th, going now into Friday, May 13th, 2011. Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. My website is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And that's where you can find all of the stuff, listen to the show, and it's all there. So we have the end of the world coming up soon. That's May 21st, right? Isn't that when the world's supposed to end, y'all? Hey, if it doesn't end, do we have the right to string this cocksucker up that's been saying it's going to and cut his balls off in the middle of the White House lawn? Do we have a pay-per-view event of this cocksucking preacher getting his balls cut off if it doesn't end, right? Can we do that? I say that's the deal. The world ends, or we cut your balls off. How about that? I mean, see, that's how you know these guys are liars. Because if somebody knew the world was really going to end, they would say, okay, if it doesn't end, then cut my balls off. Fine. Cut them off. That's just fine with me. Snip them off. Take the cock, too, while you're at it. I don't care. The world's going to end. Because then, hey, the world ends, and you don't have to get your cock and your nuts chopped off, right? But you don't see these guys doing that. Oh, no. No, damn. If you thought so goddamn sure the fucking world was going to end, you'd be okay. You'd say, yes, I'll sign this piece of paper and you can chop my cock and nuts off if it doesn't it. But you're not doing that, you know? The reason I say that is because isn't that part of, like, you know, the biblical prophecy about swarms of locusts and all this stuff? Listen to this. This is from the Daily Mail here. U.S. states braced for invasion of cicadas as they hatch after 13 years underground. Their haunting chirp strikes fear into the heart of every gardener. For 13 years, the cicada horde has lain dormant in its underground lair, awaiting the right time to strike, and it appears that time has come. Even at this very moment, billions of the winged insect are crawling from their exoskeleton cages, ready to suck the sap out of every plant, tree, and bush that gets in its way. But they are here to breed, laying eggs in the twigs and branches of trees as they call out to their mates with their deafening song. The red-eyed army has already reached the southern states of America, prompting many farmers to cover their crops with protective heavy netting. There are billions of them in the trees. The sound of the cicadas is clearly audible over the line. When I drove from my house to the grocery store, I ran over thousands of them. They're everywhere. The air is just thick with them. Swarms of locusts, right? Locust plagues. Isn't this what they were talking about in the Bible and shit? Uh-oh. Look out. Sorry, I was distracted by a little small picture of whose ass is that? Oh, it's Miley Cyrus's ass. Gross. Well, at least I wasn't looking at porn. At least she's legal now. The fucking Daily Mail, man. It's like, I mean, it's got some good news stories, but it's like a fucking tabloid. I mean, on the side of the screen, I'm sitting there reading this thing about cicadas. All I see is just ass in my face in a bikini. I just didn't know what was going on. Okay. Very distracting. There have been reports of mass hatchings in South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Arkansas. By now, the inch-long insects are heading north, desperate to continue their breeding frenzy. The cicada, however, is completely harmless to humans, apart from the intense racket males make when seeing for mates, which can reach up to 120 decibels. And they can get in hair, cars, picnics, and houses. You ever seen one fly in a chick's hair before? Oh, it's the goddamn funniest shit you ever seen. They lose their grease, dude. I mean, they're fucking, they're just flailing and hair's going everywhere and fucking is because they got those little sticky, you know, fingers and they get stuck in long hair really easily. Oh, goddamn, that shit makes me crack up. Oh, it's fucking funny. Don't tell the chicks you think it's funny though. They frown on that. Yeah, be like, oh my God, that's horrible. That's awful. I can't believe you got a cicada in your hair. Oh my God. And then go to the bathroom and fucking piss yourself because this shit's too funny. I mean, they just fucking wiggle and squirm. Oh my God. I mean, they're fucking harmless. I mean, come on. Yeah, they're ugly as hell, but they're fucking harmless. That shit's funny to me. It says that, and although ordinary people may find them annoying, scientists are eager to study the rare phenomenon as they won't have another chance until 2024. Scientists call these cicadas the Great Southern Brood. They have red eyes. They don't sting. They don't bite. And, but it scares the heck out of you when they buzz but they really don't do you any harm. The idea of animals coming out in mass is pretty common. It's generally understood that to inundate your predators, the first ones that come up fall prey to birds and other predators. The ones that come up later have a better chance to survive since their predators may already be engorged on cicadas. They only emerge from the soil every 13 to 17 years to mate, depending on their variety. Their loud noise is generated by rubbing their legs together. You know, but I hear cicadas every year. That doesn't make sense to me. I hear them every year. I mean, is it just one specific kind? Is that what it is? Because I've heard them my whole life here in Texas. I mean, every year we got these cocksuckers. Yeah, they're annoying as fuck, man. I mean, you know, they're loud shit and they're ugly, but I don't really think they do any harm. Aren't those what those fucking June bugs are? Isn't that what June bugs start out as, or they start out as June bugs and then they crawl up somewhere and they metamorphosize into the fucking cicadas and hatch out the ass end. Isn't that what they do? But that's too funny. So there you go, locust plagues. Let's see what else kind of fear sauce we got here tonight to scare the shit out of all of us with. Another one from, I got several here from the Daily Mail. Why a mobile phone ring may make bees buzz off. Insects infuriated by handset signals. Yeah, you know, they've tried every sort of explanation in the world for this bee die-off thing, haven't they? You know, they've tried the pesticide thing. You know, nobody's really gotten to the bottom of it. But it would make total sense to me that the bee die-off is happening as a result of the electromagnetic interference caused by these Elf Towers, Gwyn Towers, the cell phone radiation towers. Signals from mobile phones could be partly to blame for the mysterious deaths of honeybees, new research shows. In the first experiment of its kind, a bee expert placed a mobile phone underneath a hive and then carefully monitored the reaction of the workers. The bees were able to tell when the handsets were making and receiving calls and responded by making the high-pitched squeaks that usually signal the start of swarming. Dr. Daniel Favre, who carried out the experiment, believes signals from the mobile phones and masks could be contributing to the decline of honeybees and called for more research. But British bee experts say that there still is no evidence that mobile phones posed a risk. They blame the vanishing honeybees on changes in farming, the decline of wildflowers, and pesticides. Yeah, because, you know, We'll just make everything GMO and not have to worry about all you know, pesticides and all this shit anymore. But we sure as fuck ain't gonna get rid of cell phones now, are we? The number of honeybees in the UK has halved in the last 25 years. While in America, bees have been badly hit by colony collapse disorder, the sudden disappearance of entire colonies over winter. And I mean, it wouldn't surprise, again, you know, they'll blame it on, global warming. They'll blame it on climate change. They'll blame it on Al Gore's sphincter. They'll blame it on just about everything before they'll, you know, address the problem with electromagnetic interference and the idea that all of these, you know, electromagnetic generators that we're using for communication and stuff are having detrimental effects upon all biological life on Earth. And I don't think it's isolated to just the bee kingdom. I think this stuff's having effect on all animals and all things. You know, people wonder why shark attacks are going up, or, you know, crocodile attacks are going up, or whatever have you. And then when that happens, what do we hear? Oh, well, it's global warming, climate change. Mother Earth is mad. We've pissed off Gaia. Now the sharks are going to be eating more people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly couldn't be that we have a fucking electromagnetic bombardment of the planet happening every second of the day for how many years now? We're just supposed to move on past that because, oh, yeah, it couldn't be the cell phones. No, we have to have those. We don't have cell phones. How can we communicate? How can we know where every person is all the time? Fuck a cell phone. Never owned one, won't own one, will never own one, refuse to own one. Fuck a cell phone. So funny, man, how many people from like my dad's generation and stuff, it just flat can't even, they don't even know how to fucking turn a computer on. They don't even know what, oh, I don't care, I don't like them computers. I ain't touching any damn computers. I'm like, man, that's what I mean. When our parents' generation were teenagers or, you know, 20 somethings, that's when video games first came out, Atari and all that stuff. And man, people who are my age remember this, but it used to be that video games were like for adults. It wasn't a kid's thing. You know, it was a privilege. You were lucky if you got to touch the video game console back in the day. It didn't become for kids until, you know, like Nintendo came out. And then adults were like, yeah, you know, I'm not playing video games anymore. And then kids kind of took it over. But it's funny how many of these old codgers, they're not even old codgers, they're guys in their, you know, 40s and 50s sometimes, that they're not even codger age. You know, I don't use them computers, I don't them damned old computers, blah, blah, blah. But yet they've got a fucking, you know, cell phone. You have any, I'm like, well, you know how to use that cell phone, don't you? Yeah, what's the same goddamn thing? No, it ain't. Yeah, it is. It's the same fucking thing. But see, the people have this block where they don't want to know how to work a computer. They don't want to get on the internet. They feel that it's like, you know, it makes them less of a man if they know how to use a computer. It's just ridiculous. I've seen that in so many people. It's not that way for me with cell phones. I'm just not going to have one. Fuck that. Not only that, I don't like talking on the phone anyway. I don't call anybody. In fact, if you ever get a phone call from me, you better worry. Because generally when I call people, it's always, you know, something bad. I don't call people. It's not what I do. I'm on the internet 24 hours a day. If I'm not at home, I generally have my laptop with me and I'm somewhere that has a Wi-Fi connection because everywhere does now. So, you know, you need to get a hold of me, shoot me an email. That's all there is to it. What else we got here tonight? Oh, this is gross. More bug stories. What the hell is going on with the bug stories tonight? Canadian scientists have detected drug-resistant staph, MRSA, the superbug bacteria, now in bed bugs. Oh, God. From three hospital patients from a downtrodden Vancouver neighborhood. Marie, who was visiting from Kentucky, said that the thought of bed bugs made her skin crawl. Bed bugs have not been known previously to spread disease. Well, this tells you right here, this bed bug outbreak has been engineered. Bed bugs have not been known to spread disease, and there's no clear evidence that the five bed bugs found on the patients or their belongings had spread the MRSA germ they were carrying or a second less dangerous drug-resistant bacteria. However, bed bugs can cause itching that can lead to excessive scratching. And that can cause breaks in the skin that make people more susceptible to these germs. I mean, the hospital, I mean, I've been, you know, Christ, man. I, you know, going up there to the hospital, see my dad and stuff. Fuck. Place just fucking, oh my God, it just creeps me out. I mean, it's a nice hospital. He's in, it's not, you know, it's a newer hospital. It's very nice. And, I just go in that place and I feel like I'm getting hit with fucking, you know, gamma rays and radiation and x-rays and fucking, I can just feel it when I walk in that place, man. I load my fucking pockets up with crystals before I go in there. Fucking, you know, MSRA. And then I'm sitting there thinking about MSRA and I look over and see a sign that says, help us prevent MSRA, you know? And they got, you know, signs up everywhere in the hospital that say, hey, do you need to get a flu shot or a pneumonia shot while you're here? Hit us up. We'll give you one. Yeah, I bet you will, full of cancer viruses. So in, you know, 6 months, well, that person will just wind up right back in that hospital bed. Let's go ahead and get you hooked up. It's a fact. It's a fact. In fact, before my dad got cancer in 2007, I've never seen my sister more pissed off about anything in my life. Because we had just sort of been researching the stuff about, you know, I mean, it literally admitted that there's live cancer viruses in flu shots. And, I mean, like Merck and all these pharmaceutical companies, it's all in there. And my dad had went and got a flu shot, and I said, man, he's going to have cancer in 6 months. Because I had just come to that, you know, realization. And you know, of course he did. Those places are just, they're butcher shops, man. That's what they are. But one of these cock-sucking doctors told us that my dad had pneumonia the other day. Which somebody in his condition getting pneumonia is, you know, got hours to live. Head doctor comes in the next day and says, pneumonia, what are you talking about? He doesn't have pneumonia. You know, I'm documenting this stuff. If I'm telling you right now, these motherfuckers do anything in any way, shape, or form to not do what they're supposed to, and something happens to my dad as a result of some shit like that, you know, telling somebody they have pneumonia when they don't. I'm keeping tabs on all of this shit. I tell you right now, man. I catch them doing anything like that, I'm calling a fucking lawyer. Straight up. Because that's the problem, is people just let this shit happen to their family members. That people just let this stuff occur. And they think that they have no recourse. They have no way of stepping up and saying anything. And, you know, I'm not a litigious man, but I'll tell you what. Somebody needs to send these cocksuckers a message. And the message is that we're on to them. We are now aware of their medical industrial complex scam and scheme to kill us, suck us dry, take all of our money, and then put us in the grave. That's best case scenario. That's being a good American for these people. You understand that? That's what defines being a good American now. It's just wild. Speaking of wild, this was all over the news today, and this happened right here in my backyard in Fort Worth last night. We had some crazy storms. Sounds sounded like bombs going off during thunder at one point. It was insane. And someone shot some amateur video of what they claim to be power transformers exploding. Well, number one, once a power transformer explodes, it only explodes once. This is like a 3-minute video, and I kid you not, within 15 seconds of starting to see these crazy multicolored lights that they claim to be transformers blowing up on the ground, it start to explode. You start to see orbs and craft appear. And there, it wasn't a power station, John. There's no power station right there. That's off 35. There is no power station there, bro. This is in my backyard, dude. I'm telling you, this is horse shit. There was no fucking power station there. There were not exploding transformers. Look at the sky. There are fucking UFOs that are sucking energy out of the ground, out of the power lines. I mean, I saw shit all in the sky last night, dude. I could see it. Every time the sky would light up, you could see little orbs zipping into the clouds. I saw it last night. I see it every time there's thunderstorms around here. Story Musgrave from the space shuttle shot video of that exact thing. There's video of it. It's in, I think, Secret Space 1 and 2, I think, by Chris Everard. But it's out there. You can type Story Musgrave UFOs into YouTube, and you'll see Story Musgrave filming from the space shuttle, and you see these little, they're not ships, they're not UFOs, they're like organic living creatures. And they fly, there's a thunderstorm going on Earth, and they fly and just zoom in on the thunderstorms as if they're sucking power from it. And this, to me, looks identical. What happened right here in my backyard and forth looks identical, except it being on the ground, not taken from space, from what Story Musgrave, NASA astronaut, shot from the space shuttle, I guess back in the 90s. And like I said, transformers blow up. They're not going to continue to, once they blow, they blow. That's it. It's game over. They don't sit there and blow and blow and blow and go back and forth and change positions and change colors and all that. That's bullshit. There's something going on there. You know, we've talked about it. They've played the Osama card. Now the alien card's got to be coming, right? Something's going on with that, though. And I think that you know, even calling what's in that video there. Hi, Hank. What's going on, dude? My cat decided to join me here in my lap for the show. What's up, buddy? You know, we automatically assume that anything that we see in the sky that's unexplained is a craft. And if you see the Story Musgrave footage, if you see some of the other footage that's been shot from the space shuttle, if you see the NASA tether incident video, there appears to be many things out beyond the atmosphere of Earth that are alive, that are, you know, living things that they're not telling us about. John Glenn, the astronaut, reported seeing these. He called them space critters. Fireflies. So there's definitely something out there that is living, some sort of organic creatures. And best I can understand, and I don't know if this is the true explanation, but from the best I can understand, something about the admission of their existence would basically overturn and turn on its head and shake upside down certain preconceived notions and certain things that they have told us about Earth and space and everything else. Like, for instance, remember a couple of years ago, we actually broke the story here first on the Saturday night edition of the Global Reality we used to do back on Oracle, and it was when China did their fake spacewalk. Remember that? I mean, I was there within minutes of it happening, exposing it as being fake. And one of the things that people have pointed to in that video, and it does look fake, but one of the things that people have pointed to in the fake Chinese spacewalk video, if you haven't seen that, Google fake Chinese spacewalk and watch the video, you start to see little bubbles come up, right? So when you start to see these little bubbles come up, everybody started to make the assumption, okay, well, that's obviously water bubbles, and they're shooting this in a swimming pool, in a tank, and those are bubbles coming up. And that very well could be true. But I remember watching some DVD extras of the X-Files, and I can't remember what X-Files episode this was, but it was some stuff from, you know, it was filmed back in the 90s. And there was one episode in particular where they were using this gel solution, this like clear gel solution. No knocking my mic, dude. Seriously. There was some sort of gel solution where you could basically submerge something in it, make it look weightless without there being any kind of bubbles or anything of that nature. So if that was back in the 90s and they were using it on TV, you would think if they were going to fake something with China, you know, they could have used that. They would be privy to that gel. I mean, China is the fake king of the world. They can fake anything. They're the counterfeit kings of the planet. You're going to tell me that they just fucked up and allowed there to be water bubbles in there? My idea, my theory is that space is not actually an empty vacuum like we're told it is. It's actually like water, like a solution. And because these things that are out there that Story Musgrave and others shot, they appear to swim. If you watch these videos, there's one from one of the where the International Space Station is trying to dock with Mir. I think these are all in Chris Everard's Secret Space movies, 1 and 2. And these things, as they come by, and again, they're not ships, but as they come by, they just look like things swimming. Like they're swimming in you know, you wouldn't see any kind of movement like that in a vacuum. They're very fluid-like motion. So I think that they have been, for whatever reason, I think there's more to our reality, more that they know about than they're letting on to. And I think the implications of the admission of what these creatures are could really do damage to their official story of science and space and everything else. So it's fascinating stuff. Oh, I called this. Remember back when the Super Bowl was happening? Of course, they had it here in Dallas, where I live, and I had talked about the city of Arlington, where the Jerry World Football Stadium is, where they have the Super Bowl. I had talked about how they had gotten these huge grants, federal grants, from the Department of Homeland Security, and they had brought in all of the whatever the new, you know, Department of Homeland Security toys were, all the new unmanned drones and remote control drones and stuff. And I said, you know, fucking dumbass people of Dallas and Arlington over here not paying attention. I mean, these dolts have no idea that when they get a grant for this stuff from Homeland Security, this stuff ain't going away after the Super Bowl's over, baby. It's staying and it's going to be used on us. Remember I said that? Well, guess what? Once again, people of Dallas, nobody knows who I am here. It's funny, I have more listeners all over the world than I have in my own town. I probably got, you know, 10 people that listen to my show in Dallas. It's crazy. Oh, that's not true. There's more than that, but still, it's a small. I probably got more people in Chicago that listen than do in Dallas. That is the truth. A remote control aircraft that was displayed during Super Bowl week as a tool to watch for terrorist activity could become a permanent crime-fighting device for Arlington police, providing them with a bird's-eye view of hostage situations, car wrecks, or other emergencies. Well, you know, I mean, there are never any hostage situations in Arlington. My God, come on. It's not much bigger than a remote-controlled toy helicopter, a smaller version of the same technology the military uses with drone aircraft in dangerous places such as the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. But for civilian applications, just don't call it a drone. It's an unmanned aircraft, she said. It's not a drone. That has a negative connotation. Excuse me? Excuse me, Mrs. Orwell. Tiara Richard, as she's called. It's an unmanned aircraft. It's not a drone. Well, let's look up the term drone, shall we? Unmanned aircraft obviously means an aircraft that is piloted by something other than a person, right? A drone is used to variously describe small unmanned autonomous scout electronics or other devices. Let's see. A remote control mechanism as a radio controlled airplane or a boat. So it's not a drone, it's an unmanned aircraft, when the definition of drone explains that it's an unmanned or unpersoned controlled thing as much as it's wild. I mean, that right there should alert you that this is a problem. It's not an unmanned aircraft. I mean, it's an unmanned aircraft. It's not a drone. But the definition of drone says that that drone is an unmanned aircraft. But we can't use the word drone because has a negative connotation. Well, this shit should have negative connotations with it. This is not being used to keep us safe from terrorism. This is used to keep tabs on citizens. And you cocksuckers think we would never notice. Arlington is one of the largest cities to get permission from the FAA to fly the aircraft. However, as it stands now, the aircraft can't be used for routine police matters in populated areas. The city's certificate of authorization allows only limited flying for training purposes in unpopulated areas away from houses, roads, waterways. Yeah, right. I mean, it stops these guys. You think what the law says stops the law from doing what they want to fucking do? Saw a cop the other day driving his cop car, and while he's going down the road texting somebody. And I shit you not, I wish I would have had a camera, because right next to it was one of those road signs that was flashing letters on it and said, blah, 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 this is a no texting zone or no texting while driving. It was just flashing, no texting while driving. And I was like, ain't that fucking ironic? You know, big fucking fuck off police state sign warning you not to text while you drive. And people who text while they drive are douchebags anyway. That's not my point. Point of the matter is, douchebag cop here is sitting there texting in his cop car driving right in front of the fucking sign that, you know, was paid for by the same people that pay his salary. Fucking hell. Oh, by the way, the White House has now said that they will do no more photo reenactments. We talked about this last week. The White House said it is ending its long-running practice of having presidents reenact televised speeches for news photographers following major addresses to the country, a little-known arrangement that fed suggestions of fakery when Barack Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden. Well, look, man, they fake stuff all the time. Why are they doing this? Why are they, you caught us. We're not going to reenact anything anymore. Oh, my goodness. Everything that they do is fake. Everything that they do is TV fakery. The whole thing's fake. The whole thing's staged. The whole thing is theater. But see, you know, notice how they do that. I've talked about this before in many other cases. They take something out to the public that many of us have known has been going on for a very long time. They make a big deal out of it in the public to bring it out to the public, into the public focus. And you go, why would they be bringing this out to the public focus? This has got to be negative for them. You would think they wouldn't want people to know this because they've been keeping this a secret for a long time, even though those of us who've been doing our research have known about it or whatever it may be. But that's why they do it. So because what they do is they bring it out, they allow it to happen. And then they come out with a news story and they squash it and they say, okay, yeah, we've done TV fakery. Yeah, we've done reenactments. Yes, what you see isn't necessarily the actual stuff. Some things are staged for dramatic effect, even with the president and press conferences and all this stuff. But Obama said he's not going to do it anymore. And so that's it. We're done. Yes, we did it. Yes, we did fake some stuff. Yes, we did, film some stuff in advance. But we're done doing that, so there's no need to bring it up again. TV fakery is now stopped. Obama has ordered it to stop, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Go back to sleep, America. It's cool. Right? That's what they do. That's when why I've seen them making the conspiracy genre so much more mainstream and putting people like Alex Jones and different people on these ancient alien shows is because it's the same reason. They're hoping to bring this stuff out on their own terms so that people don't have the context for why they should be concerned with this information in the first place. They allow it to come out in their very controlled, strictly controlled manner through their outlets with their people, with their verbiage and their terminology on their terms, and then later come out and say, oh, yeah, we staged 9/11 and blah, blah, blah. We did this, that, and everything else. And yeah, we've pulled off false flag terror attacks all over the planet. And yeah, we did that. And that was the regime of the past. And now it's a new world government. So now the new world government, it's not going to do what individual nation states would have done before and all this stuff. So yeah, we did that. That was what was done in the past, but that's over with. There's no reason to talk about it. Let's move on. You know, we killed Kennedy and we blamed it on a patsy, but you know, hey, again, that was what, you know, the old American regime did, and that regime's gone, so we can move on. Horse pucky, man. Horse pucky. No, they want to do this stuff so they can bring it out to the public and control the perimeters of what people think about it. Because if you hammer and inundate people enough with stuff enough for the longest period of time, they will eventually move past it like they move past parachute pants, like they move past capas, like they move past, you know, whatever trend in clothing or music or whatever have you has gone through the years, you know. Because people just get tired of stuff. They want to be on to the next thing. And that's what they're trying to do with the whole research community and the issues that those of us who are interested in this kind of stuff have taken upon ourselves. They're trying to reclaim the perimeters of that, though, so they can own the understanding of it and, you know, hopefully move people past it before they have time to actually see the implications and, you know, the bigger pictures of what it means. So that's why it's up to us to not let that happen. That's why it's up to us to, no matter how much they try to push this, us past this, or any of these issues, and go, yeah, we admitted to that, so what, we did it, yeah, all right, let's move on as people. No. As long as the people that are in charge continue to think that they can get away with doing all of this stuff, and with no resistance from the people, and I don't mean violent revolution, I'm not for that, you know that, I will never be about that. But I mean, as it stands now, we just don't have enough people in the world who even are aware of this stuff. So until there's more people that are even aware of it, you can't even expect that anything would change, violent, nonviolent, or anything else. But we have to continue to have faith that these people are going to do something eventually that's going to expose them in such a large way they won't be able to turn back from it. And I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And especially now that we're entering into, I can feel it, the big time throes of galactic alignment, man. Crazy stuff. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. When we get back tonight, we're going to be reading chapter 34 from William Bramley's The Gods of Eden tonight, Robo Sapiens. That should be a good chapter. We'll start on that when we get back here. In just a few minutes, folks, this is the Global Reality right here for you on the Global Reality Radio Network with me, your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
You want to grow up to paint houses like me, a trailer in my yard till you're 23. You want to feel old after 42 years, keep dropping the hammer and grinding the gear. Well, I used to go out in a Mustang, a 302 Mach 1 in green. Me and your mama made you in the back, and I sold it to buy her a ring. And I learned not to say much, nothing, so I figure you already know. But in case you don't or maybe forgot, don't give it away. hospital maintenance and tech school just to memorize frigid air parts. But I got to missing your mama, and I got to missing you too. And I went back to painting for my old man, and I guess that's what I. Yeah.